It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. And I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As you know, we are studying that God is a healer and He is healing people today. He used His disciples, Old Testament prophets, and He is doing it today. The program I'm doing just to encourage you. God can use you and God can use me. Last program we studied about David and how God used David and how He encouraged us. Today we are going to study about David's son Solomon. As you know, the Solomon is the one who was born to the Uriah's wife, and David got a first son from her, Bathsheba, and he died. So that time, maybe Bathsheba and King David may be so disappointed, sad, and sorry, and might be prayed and ask God forgiveness. And we learned last time, Psalm 51, David asked forgiveness and he repented. And after that, God gave him another son. His name is Solomon. David had many other sons. When David became old, some of his sons, they wanted to be king. And they went against his father. There was a very handsome man called Absalom. He had a long hair and very beautiful, handsome man. He took Israeli people in his hand and he wanted to be king. He wanted to go against his father. But somehow he got killed. David cried for him. Then Bathsheba comes to him and she starts saying, many other sons, they want to be king. And you promised me that my son will be king. This story, if you can read, in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses, you can read from verses 28 to 48. And there you see, David called Zadok the priest and Nathan and told them to anoint his son as a king. And they anoint him as a king. And so now, Solomon was a king, but at that time he didn't have any practice about military or army training or anything like that. And he knew his father was a warrior and he defeated surrounding nations and he was a very strong and famous warrior. When Solomon became a king, he prayed to God. Say, God, give me grace. I don't have wisdom to run this country or take care of my nations as a king. Give me wisdom. God says, okay, you didn't ask anything else. I give you wisdom and I give you wealth. And the King Solomon was the greatest king ever lived in those days. He was rich, he was famous, he had the wisdom, and many people were coming to see his kingdom. Not only that, Solomon had some kind of fear in his heart that somebody will fight with me. So he started marrying other king's daughter, like a Pharaoh's daughter and some other surrounding king's daughter, he married so many wives to just to keep the peace. He increased his warriors, his military, his chariots and everything. And so people were afraid of him because he was wise and he had so much military power. But still, he married heathen ladies. It was against the Bible, against the Word of God, but he did it anyhow. And the Word of God says, when he did that, God did not like it. You have to read the 1 Kings and chapter 11. In nutshell, is given the story about his young life. So he was not pleasing God. He even made the temples for the heathen ladies, and he even worshipped the heathen god. And when I was studying this, I thought to myself, if this king would have died in sin, he would have gone to hell. And many people, they are thinking he might have gone to hell. But I was studying about King Solomon. And in that chapter you read, 1 Kings chapter 11, he was king for 40 years. And he wrote some of the other books like Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Proverbs. If you read the Ecclesiastes, have 12 chapters. And many people say, hey, King Solomon says vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. But you read the chapter 12, last two verses, 13 and 14. He says, the man should fear God, and that is his duty. Man should fear God and God alone. That is whole purpose of God, keeping man in this world. And then he says, if person doesn't fear God, God will judge every secret sin, whatever the man does. And so you do good or you do evil, God is going to judge the mankind. From these two verses, I realize this man, even the end, he had the fear of God. And he is saying, this is our duty to fear God, believe God, and trust God. If you don't do it, God is going to judge you, your good things or evil things. And then we read in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He said, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing the law, even his prayer will be abomination. That means he is saying, if I don't listen to God, or if anybody doesn't listen to God, or doesn't listen his commandment, or obey his commandments, or obey his word, and then that man will have problem, and he comes to God and start praying. He says, God will not hear his prayer, and his prayer will be abomination to God. And this is what people are doing today. They don't want to listen to God. They don't want to fear God. They don't want to trust God. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to read the Word of God, study the Word of God. They don't want to go to church. They don't want anything about God. And when they have problem, they go to church or they pray themselves, and the prayer is not answered. If you remember last program, I said in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, it says, your sins has come between you and me. That's why I cannot hear you. I cannot even touch you. My hand is not short. My ears are not deaf. But because of your sin, I cannot hear you. I cannot heal you. I cannot deliver you. I cannot set you free. So here is saying, if you do not listen to the Word of God and go according to your way, and in the time of need you come and try to pray, God will not hear. So here another verse, he says in Proverbs 28 verse 13, he said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But who confesseth and forsaketh his sins, he will have mercy. Now, how many people understand this? Many people, they confess their sins, but they do not forsake their sins. They go in circle, keep on committing sin. Some people go to the father or priest, and they say, "Father, I'm sorry, I committed sin." And then father will tell them to do certain things. I heard a story. There was a man, he stole the chicken, and he felt bad. He went to the father. He said, "I'm sorry, I committed sin." And so he said, "What did you do?" He said, "I stole somebody's chicken." He said, "Give $5 in the offering or something like that." This man said, "I want to give $10. "Why?" "Because I'm going to steal the chicken tomorrow." This is what the people think. They think they do wrong thing. They ask forgiveness and keep on doing tomorrow the same thing. And they go in circle. But the word of God says, if you want grace of God, if you want mercy of God, if you want blessing of God, if you want healing from God, what you do? Not only hide your sin or confess your sin, but put it right with God. Forsake all sins. Then God will have mercy on you. There are some people living in sin, come to church, having a girlfriend, not married, having a boyfriend, not married, and living in sin. Not only one sin, many sins. They come to church and nobody knows, and they try to say, "Pray for me." Or sometimes they give some money to the church and nobody knows. Other day I found out there was a man, he kidnapped several girls, kept it in his house with a chain in a row house. Nobody knew that this man was doing this. And everybody gathered together in community. They said, "Let's go and search these girls." And this man went with them to searching the girls. And people thought he is a good man. One day one girl somehow went out of the house and called the police, and this man was arrested. What I'm trying to say, this man was hiding his sin. And he was thinking, "I'm a good man. I want to help. I want to bring those girls. How are they going to come?" He's already kidnapped them in his house. But the word of God says God knows everything. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. He says, "There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes." We cannot hide from God. You can hide from your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, your pastor. But you cannot hide from God. Other day I was watching the news, and they said in Florida vacation, college student, they go, and they were doing all kinds of sins in the open field, in the open shore, and they had no fear. They thought nobody's watching. But if somebody took their picture and their mother and father watching on those cameras or the TV, they will know what their children are doing. Mother and father spending hard-earned money for their children, and their children hiding from mother and father and doing all kinds of things. And when they come home and they say, "Mommy, I love you, Daddy, I love you," and they don't want to say what they're doing it. The word of God says God knows everything. And when those kind of people get all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, and they trap in some kind of problem, they tell "Mommy, pray for me," or "Pastor, pray for me," and go to church and try to tell somebody, "I'm a good person." What the Bible says, if you hide your sins, if you just keep on confessing your sins and not putting it right, you can cry day and night. You can bang your head on the wall and cry, say, "I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner." But it will not change anything. You have to confess and forsake. Then God will have mercy. So we see Solomon, if he didn't confess his sins, If he didn't turn away from his sin, from his own words, he will be judged and he will go to hell. But I believe if he's giving this advice, he got the message. And he's trying to tell us that if you really trust in God, God will heal you. If you read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, here he gives 3 points. You can read it yourself. You might have made it by heart. But here he says, you trust God. How you trust? Trust from your own heart. Give your complete body, soul, and spirit in the hand of God. And then he says, you trust, acknowledge that only God can provide your needs. He's the only one can supply your needs. He's the only one can guide you and lead you. And then he says, fear God. Fearing God means respect God. He's watching over you. You cannot go against God and say, I fear God. If you fear God, you will respect God. The Bible says, don't fear man. The man has no power to put you in hell. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. But he says, God has power to put you in hell. So we have to fear God. We have to respect God. And when he says, when you do that and depart from evil works or evil deeds, that will be health to your body, health to your navel, and marrow to your bones. So when you trust in God, fear God, stay away from sin, and then the word of God says that will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Do you know if the mad dog bites somebody or the snake bites somebody, they give injection in their belly button. When we were in our mother's womb, we got feeding from the umbilical cord. So God says, I want to keep you healthy. He says, your navel will be healthy, your marrow and your bones will be healthy. When you trust in God, you believe in God, you worship God, you acknowledge that God is a good God, he will touch you, heal you, deliver you, and set you free. There are so many people today having leukemia, having bone disease, having fragile bones, and some people are bent down, they cannot get up because their bones are hurting. Some people have arthritis, their bones are hurting. But here the word of God is saying, if you just trust in me, don't think that you are so wise. Don't think that you read so many books about healings. Don't think that you are a doctor and you know everything, or scientist or engineer, and you think this prayer doesn't work. Give God a chance. I have seen the lawyers, the engineers, the medical doctor, when they had a problem and they call upon Jesus and Jesus healed them. Today they are servants of God. I told you one of the programs, the neurosurgeon gave up his job. Today he is a pastor. And so many others. What the word of God is saying, don't think that I'm wise. Don't think I know everything. When somebody gets sick, what they do? Go to the computer and search about that sickness. What kind of medicine I should take? What are the side effects of the medicine? And all of these things they search and research. What the word of God is saying, turn to the word of God. Read the Bible. There is a wealth of knowledge there. There are healings and miracles are there. That's why I'm doing this program and telling people, even the King Solomon, nobody thought he can give advice about healing. He never prayed for anybody. There is no example that King Solomon prayed for somebody. But he is giving advice. He is saying, I know God heals. He heals every disease. He says he can heal your marrows and your bones. Today people are looking for the bone marrow. They have bone marrow problems. They're looking for a match. And they have to take years and years and months and months. God said, just trust in me. God is the one who made the bones and bone marrow and your navels and each and every part of your body. He's the one. He's the greatest one. If your expensive watch get bad or not working, you go to the watchmaker. He knows all the parts. Your car is broken, you go to the manufacturer and he will fix your car. What I'm saying is, our God has created you. Each and every part of your body, God knows. If there is anything wrong in your body, call upon God. I'm not saying don't take medicine, don't go to doctor. But God is the source of our supply. Here, King Solomon is not saying, where to go. He says, trust in God. And he will heal your marrows and he will heal your bones. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22, if you read, he says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears and on my saying. And then what he's saying? Let them not depart from thine heart. Keep eyes on your word and keep them in your heart. If you do that, then he says, your life will be long. You will be living for a long time. Not only that, that word of God will give you health for all your flesh. Here he says, navel, marrow, bone. And now, in the chapter 4, he says, God can heal your whole flesh. Means if there is anything wrong in your flesh, God will heal you. Today you see how many people have skin diseases, melanoma, cancer, and people have problems. You saw about the Job. He had the skin problem. And he prayed to God and God healed him. So I'm trying to say if there is any kinds of skin disease, God can heal. There was a man and he read this scripture and he says, Lord, my body, my flesh is not healing. But he read the scripture and he got completely healed and became a Christian, full gospel, wrote so many books and lived a Christian life and start preaching that if you study the Word of God, read the Word of God, practice the Word of God, it should be giving you health for all your flesh. And not only that, it says you will have long life. I saw one lady came for prayer. I was having a healing service. She came for prayer and she was wearing the bed sheet. She could not wear any clothes. And so one lady was holding her. I said, sister, what can I do for you? She said, I have this disease. Everywhere there is no skin, everything red, red, red from her top of her head to the bottom of her feet. So I could not touch anywhere. I said, I kept my hand on the floor. I said, step on my hand and I'm going to pray. She said, oh no, you are a servant of God. I cannot put my feet on your hand. I said, do it and see what God's power will hit you and heal you. And I prayed, Lord, touch her. And let the power of God start going from her feet to her whole body. And let her be healed. And I said to the sister, sister, come tomorrow. And she came next day, wearing a beautiful sari and a good blouse. And she had no scar and nothing. Her body was completely healed, like a young girl's body. And she stood there and I said, what can I do for you? She said, I came here to testify. I said, what happened? She said, yesterday you prayed for me. And my all this skin disease is gone. Now no scar. And my body is like a young girl, completely healed, smooth body. I said, sister, how long you were suffering? She said, I was suffering for 40 years. If you ask the ladies their age, they don't like it. But I asked anyhow. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 45 years old today. So I said, you started your disease when you were 5 years old? She said, yes. She suffered for 40 years. But according to this scripture, I believe if she can listen to the word of God, she can believe Jesus Christ, her skin will be completely healed. You know Naaman had the leprosy. Elisha told him, go and dip in your water for 7 times in the Jordan River. He didn't want to do it. But his servant said, do it anyhow. And he did 6 times, nothing happened. 7th time, completely healed. And his body was completely healed like a child's body. What I'm trying to say, our God is a healer. Just trust in Him. I'm going to pray for you. First say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, your sins are forgiven. Sin is the one causing all this sickness and disease. Let me pray for you. Touch your body. If your bone have problem, if your skin has the problem, whatever the problem you have, I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch each and every person who is listening to my voice. Touch their bones, heal their body, and let them know Jesus is the healer. In Jesus' name I pray, and I call it done. Amen and amen. If you prayed this prayer, Jesus already touched you and healed you. Go and tell somebody, Jesus is my healer. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And testify what God has done. Now, may God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.